Please turn with me here tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And we've started just a short series called The Divine Exchange at the Cross. What happened at the cross when Jesus died there? An exchange took place between Christ and those who believe in him. Something miraculous, something remarkable, something beyond what man is. Something actually happened, an exchange. We exchanged something with him. He exchanged something with us that changes our life. And last week we began in this series of the divine exchange, looking at substitution. That when Jesus died on the cross, there was an exchange, where what Christ done on the cross, he took our sin. All of our sin was laid upon him. He suffered for our sin. But also something else happened. With substitution, his righteousness and obedience became our righteousness and obedience. There was a divine exchange at the cross. And saints, that's what makes a man or woman born again. They get forgiven. They get made righteous. They may get made new. Their old sins are forgiven. And now righteousness comes in. It belongs to theirs. Never forget what I said last week. We're going to deal with that 1,000 times in this church. You know why? This is the foundation. Jesus died for you. Don't just think it's for someone out there. It's for every hell deserving sinner. God doesn't save good people. He doesn't do a work just on those who are righteous and nice and beautiful. He works in the life of sinners. It is actually sinners that he works in the life of. That's what we dealt with, was substitution last week. This radical change so that you can be forgiven, made righteous, made acceptable by faith. It's the work of God. It's not your work. It's not your efforts. It's not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. But here tonight, I want to move on to a second thing. And this is my message tonight concerning the cross. The exchanged life. The exchange life, not only an exchange righteousness, not only something that happens to you when you get born again, but your entire life, there is an exchange life. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray for divine revelation right here this morning, not by eloquence of words, not by power nor of force of understanding, but Lord God, I pray for a work of the Holy Spirit in every life, every man, every woman. Give us a new revelation. Show us what you've done on the cross. My God, open up the revelation of your truth. Make it real in this room tonight. My God, we so easily lose sight. We become dull of hearing. And we've become blind to the work of the cross. But I pray tonight, make it real, make it new, make it fresh in this room. Lord God, I pray for the power, the dynamic and the power of what you've done on the cross to impact every life in this room. My God, I know what you've done on the cross can change every single life in this room. And we pray in faith. We pray in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let the power of it come. Let an opening of our eyes, so God, come to us in this room in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're dealing with an exchange life in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Listen again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me point out to you tonight that not only was substitution performed at the cross, not only a swapping of your sin being laid on Christ on the cross and his righteousness being become yours as a free gift, but an exchange life. This can revolutionize your life tonight. What frustrates a preacher and every Christian is they know the truth, they believe the truth, But to experience the power of it is another thing. You can mentally understand these things. You can hear and understand what I say. And yet the power of it is not operating in your life. You could be blind to it, deaf to it. You can actually miss it through many different reasons. But here tonight, I do actually want to deal with this very precious truth concerning the exchange life. First of all, look with me at a changed life. What is the Christian life? The Christian life is a changed life. And that changed life comes about through the cross. If Jesus had not died on the cross, you would not be changed. There would be no power. You could never hope to have your life radically changed. You could work, you could labor, you could strive, you could know everything the Bible says, but if Jesus had not died for you, there would be no power for a changed life. When as we look at this exchanged life, where your life is exchanged with Christ on the cross, and His life is exchanged with you that you can enjoy it now, the first great mark of this is a changed life. Look with me in this verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Notice with me, it says, in Christ. You see, you're either, in this gathering tonight, you're either without Christ or you're in Christ. Either you're outside Christ, you're without Christ, you don't know His power, you have not experienced His power, you do not know the truth of this. You can hear it, you can understand it, you can even say, yes, I believe it, but you have not experienced the power of a changed life. What is a changed life? You are in Christ. To be in Christ is a changed life. You cannot be in Christ. You cannot be forgiven. You cannot be washed in the blood. You cannot get a new life. You cannot be saved from your sin without being put in Christ. This is what gives you forgiveness. You're put in Christ. It's the work of God, not your works. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not even trying to do things differently. It's not even changing your theology. It is actually where God puts you in Christ. You're either without Christ, outside of Christ, or you're in Christ. And since there's another thing in the future to be with Christ, how are you ever going to be with Christ? So you're either without Christ, in Christ, or you're with Christ. And I want to assure you, none of you in this room tonight are with Christ. Not one of you is. Yeah. There is an experience I have not had yet to be with Christ. And I assure you, the second it happens, I'm going to know it happens. Yeah. There is a power with it. I'm not going to be standing here in this pulpit. To be with Christ means a radical change where I'm going to be with Him. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. I haven't experienced yet. Neither have you experienced it. You don't know what it is to be with Christ. It hasn't entered into your mind or your heart or your perception. What has been stored up for those who are in Christ Jesus? You can't even imagine it. If every sinner realized what it's like, that one day they'll be with Christ, or that they can be with Christ, I assure you, here tonight you would want to be in Christ. How do you get to be with Christ? You must first be in Christ. You need to be put in Christ. Do you know where that was done? At the cross. There was something done at the cross. Notice here it says, therefore if any man be in Christ. How do you know you're in Christ? How do you know you're forgiven? How do you know you're a Christian? It says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How do you know you're a Christian? You're a new creature. Oh, I'm just forgiven, but we're not perfect. Hey, I'm forgiven. God has forgiven me, but I still live the same. No, you don't. Don't separate forgiveness from a changed life. You see, those who have been forgiven have a changed life. The Bible here actually says they become a new creature. You cannot be the same. You cannot be forgiven and still be the same. When God forgives your sins, when He washes you and makes you clean in the blood of the Lamb, when He takes you and puts you in Jesus, you actually supernaturally become a new creature. And notice, this is my first point, a changed life. When you're born again, you become a new creature. What is a new creature? Do you know the three greatest miracles in history? The first one, creation. Do you know the galaxies, the universe, the earth, the moon, all the stars? God created that. That's the first great creation. God's creation, He created all things by the power of His word. But there's a second creation, the incarnation, where God was made flesh. He was born of a virgin. He became a man. He didn't set aside His divinity. He never did. Never make that mistake. Never think He set aside His divinity and took on humanity. That's heresy. That is false doctrine. In fact, what He done was clothe Himself with divinity. As He walked as a man, He was still the divine God, the creator of all things. So the second thing is the incarnation. But there's a third wonderful miracle. Not only the creation of all things, not only the incarnation, but the new creation, where God makes a man or a woman a sinner. Notice here, a changed life is for a sinner. Not only forgiveness of your sin, not only a changed direction, not only washing you from your sin, He changes your life at the beginning. Not as you go along, not 20 years down the road. To be born again in Christ, He changes your life. The Christian life is a changed life. And this happened at the cross. He died for you on the cross. Why? That you could be changed. There is power in what He done on the cross. Do you know that God, the Christ, is the Creator? He creates a new person. You cannot be the same if you're born again. If your sins are forgiven, you're not the same person. The Bible actually teaches He created a new creation, a new person, an inward heart change. Or the Bible calls this the born again experience. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, ye must be born again. Yeah. It's a new birth, a second birth, a birth from above. What is this birth? God supernaturally, by the power of His cross, creates a new person within you. You could be 19, 17, 30, 50, or 70 when you meet with Christ. On the day that you meet with Him, He not only forgives you, He changes something within you. He literally does something. He makes you a new creature. Something or someone is created within you that wasn't there before yesterday. When you have an encounter with what Jesus done on the cross, the Bible says you're a new creature, you're a new person, you're a new man, you're a new woman, you're not the same as you used to be. You're not just forgiven, you have a changed life. And saints, this isn't progressive. This happens at the beginning. Yeah. Show me a man who gets born again, he stops drinking alcohol. Show me someone that gets born again, they're not cursing and effing and blinding and Jesus. They don't do that. That's blasphemy. How can you be changed and yet speak the same, think the same, act the same, do the same, have the same unforgiveness, the same lust, the same attitudes, the same anger, the same bitterness, if none of that has changed? Either you're never born again, or you've lost terrible side of this. You have fallen from grace and you've lost the reality of this. The Christian life is a changed life. Paul calls it born of God. Peter calls it born of God. John calls it born of God. To be born again is to have something within you born new. It's a new creature. It is radically new. It's not like your old life. It doesn't think like your new life. It doesn't desire like your old life. It doesn't make decisions like your old life. That's how you know the new creature. What does this new creature look like? It's changed. It's actually formed in the likeness of Christ. Listen to what it says in Galatians 6. For in Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything. In other words, religion, candles, circumcision of the flesh, going through religious activities to make you better, it means nothing. Going to confessional means nothing. Praying to the saints means nothing. Going to LCC means nothing. Trying to be better or moral means nothing. That is not where the power is. Saints, there's no power in being moral or religious. There's no power there. Sure, lots of people are religious in this city. Lots of people say, I believe in Jesus. But the Bible says in Christ, if you're really in Christ, then circumcision means nothing. Catholicism means nothing. Protestantism means nothing. Religion means nothing. All that means something in Christ is, listen to this, a new creation. In other words, if you're in Christ, the only thing that makes a difference is this new creature. And that happens on day one that you get born again. When you believe on Him, God does a miracle in your heart. He creates a new person. There is a brand new man with new desires and new hopes and new longings. There's a new direction. And that's the mark of the Christian life. A changed life. Since if we ever lose the changed life from this experience of being born again, nobody is going to get born again. We can preach, oh, believe in Christ. Say a little prayer. Come to church. Read the Bible. Go alone and pray a little. No, it all begins with a changed life. You're made a new creature. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and 10, for we are His workmanship. Listen to that. It's powerful in Ephesians 2. For we, that is a Christian, is the workmanship of God. In other words, not man, not your efforts, not your power. Some people don't follow the Christian life because they say, I can't do it, I can't live it, I can't keep it, I can't leave sin, I can't change my life. That's for you, but not for me. I believe it, I wish I could have it, but I cannot because I cannot do it. Praise God, none of us could. None of us could. This is the work of God. For we are His workmanship. You know what the Greek says? His poem, His creation. God has literally created you. We are His workmanship. In our life, I'm going to tell you tonight, I am His workmanship. Not my own efforts, not my own power, not my own strength, not my own will, not my resolution, not my understanding of the Bible. We are the workmanship of God. And listen to this, created in Christ Jesus. It's in Jesus, in what He done on the cross. We are created unto good works. Good works don't change you. You're created unto good works. Do you know God changes you so that you will do good works? Once He changes you, then you do what's right. Once you're born again, a changed life, you actually experience a changed life. I don't have to try to do things differently. I want to do things differently. I do things differently. How do I know man's born again? He is actually created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Listen to this, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you know God's planned all the things that He wants you to do before you're saved, before you're conceived, before you're born, before He created the world? Do you know in this room, God has a plan for your life? Don't get all caught up in the works. Don't get all caught up in trying to find out what God wants for your life. Do you realize before he created the earth, God had a plan for your life? And he said, do you know all the works? I'd already prepared them. I had already planned them. I had already had them in my mind. And that's why when I saved you, then I want to bring you into them. I change you so that you will actually walk in these things that I planned from the very beginning. I change your life. You can't do them unless I change your life. Only when God changes your life, you become a new creature, a brand new man, as we're singing before the meeting. I am a brand new man. He changed me. It's his power. Now I want to do works. He planned it from before the universe. It's not me inventing them. It's not me creating them. It's not me working hard. I say, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Lord, I believe in you. Lord, you change me. Come and use my life. My life is no longer my own. It is a changed life. Lord, I give my life to you. It's not my will anymore. It's not my plans anymore. It's not my choices anymore. God help you if you're making your own choices. Well, I'm going to plan out my life and I'm going to do this and I'm going to marry that person. God help you. God help you. You're going to get very tired. You'll get so worn out and exhausted. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I've got to try harder. And I've got to accomplish all this. And I ought to be doing this for God. You'll get very, very tired. I want to assure you, the power of this is a new creature. It says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What changes you? The power of the gospel. Or in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, the preaching of the cross. Why am I preaching on the cross tonight? Listen, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, who are perishing, who are on their way to hell. What is it?
Foolishness.
In other words, a man who isn't saved outside of Christ, who is perishing on his way to hell, he thinks the message of the cross is foolishness. I don't understand it. It doesn't affect my life. There's no power in it. I reject it. I'm looking for religion. I'll try better. I want to tell you, it says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Listen to me. The preaching of the cross, the message of the cross, of what Jesus done on the cross, there is power in it. There is dynamite to change your life, not only for the sinner, but you as a Christian. You never lose this. This is what you must come back to all the time. If you ever lose sight of it, you need to come back to it tonight. There is power if you believe tonight. There is power. It's not power in your efforts. Oh, I'm trying hard. Yeah, and you're exhausted. You're tired. You're worn out. You feel like giving up. You say, I can't do this. Of course not. Where's the power? In the preaching of the cross to all those who believe. Not who try better. Not who try harder. Man, I can't do anymore. I know. God is actually trying to bring you back. It is the power of the preaching of the cross. You're made a new creature. It's not religious activity that saves you or makes you better or makes you accepted. It is the power of what Jesus done on the cross. Christ died for you. And when you believe that he died for you, there's a changed life. Not only forgiveness. Not only did he die for your sin. Not only does he make you righteous, he changes your life inwardly, spiritually, in your heart. He changes you day one. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't work hard for this changed life. You get it day one. He changes you. He makes you a new person. Now he says, I want you to walk it out, live it, become, live out the Christian life. But secondly, not only a changed life, let's look at the old life. Not only the changed life, but the old life. Here it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Notice this. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. If you're a new creature, I'm talking about an exchange at the cross. Not only were your sins laid on him, and his righteousness was imputed to you perfectly, completely on day one, something else happened. There was an exchange of your life and his life.
Hallelujah.
Not only of his righteousness and your sin, but his life and your life was exchanged. Your life was exchanged and placed on him in the cross, and his life was given to you as a free gift. Look at this, it says, if you're a new creature, old things are passed away. It's talking about the old person, the old life, your previous life before you knew Jesus, who you were before you got born again, before you believed in Jesus, before your sins are forgiven. Your old life has passed away. The Bible actually says that outside of Christ, we're still in Adam, still in sin, still in self, still following our own desires. You know, sure, Mark, that you've never been changed as you make all your own decisions. You follow all your own desires. You think with your natural mind. There's something terrible with that. Absolutely terrible. But the Bible talks about this old life for the Christian. At the cross, it was on the cross, through the message of the cross, the old self, desires, thoughts, rebellion, religion, trying to do good enough, the pride, all of this was dealt with at the cross. You know what the Bible teaches? That on the cross, the body of sin, your body of sin, what's the body of sin? It's called self. Self. Your old life is called the self life, or the body of sin. In other words, it sins. Your old life, you sin. I don't care if you're religious. Mary was religious before she got born again. Many of yous in this room, you were religious. I believe in God. I believe in the cross. Yeah, and you swore like a trooper. And you cursed and you got angry and you got bitter. Oh, I believe in God. Man, it didn't make you much better. Oh, I believe there's an afterlife. I believe there's a hell. And yet the Bible says, what about that old man? Your body of sin, the flesh, the old man, the Adamic nature. The Bible says when you meet Christ, something happens to that old life. It passes away. There's an experience through the cross, not by your efforts. Man, I'm trying so hard to get rid of this old life. Man, the flesh, it's so real, it's so alive. I don't want it. I'm trying so hard to deal with it. What a mistake you're making. Do you realize it's on the cross that the old life passes away? Something happened on the cross that your old life, the body of sin, the flesh, the old Adamic nature, the old life that desires, that's religious, that's proud, that's arrogant, that on the cross, through what Jesus done on the cross, on your place, it passed away. Your old life passed away. It means the end of your old life. It loses its power. It becomes ineffective. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not saying it's annihilated, totally destroyed, disintegrated, annihilated, blasted out of existence. I'm not saying that. No, not at all. I'm not saying it's so completely destroyed that you cannot see it and you'll never feel it and I'll never come knocking at your door again. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that old man, something happened at the cross when you put faith in Jesus that your old life passed away. It was actually issued a death sentence on the cross. Jesus said to your old life, to your old person, to who you were outside of Christ, he said, I am placing you under death sentence. You are crucified. I'm going to take your old man. Do you know you can wrestle with your old man? You won't get very far. Man, I'm trying to beat the flesh. Man, I'm trying to overcome temptation. Man, look at these attitudes rising up. Look at this old Adam. Isn't it so alive? Yes, but it's under a death sentence. Do you know what the Bible says about that old man? What does it mean that it's passed away? Listen very carefully in Romans 6 and verse 6. It says, knowing this, a lot of Christians don't know. They're still trying to go, I'm born again. I'm a new creature. But this problem of the old man, I'm looking forward trying to deal with it. You're looking in the wrong direction. You're actually looking forward saying, I'm trying to fight the old man. Man, I hate him. Man, he causes me pain. Man, he trips me up. Man, just when I say, man, I'm a new creature. I love Jesus. I've got a new life. I'm following a new way. And here comes Adam running up and he trips me up and grabs my leg and I fall flat in my face and I go, man, to get rid of Adam. Why are you still here? And you're trying to pursue, you go, I am a new creature, I am a new man, I am born again, I do want a new life, and I'm trying so hard to live holy. You're looking in the wrong direction. I'm telling you what the Bible says, not my opinion, not the preacher, not the church. Listen to what the Bible says, knowing this, do you know it tonight? Are you looking forward trying to crucify your old man? Trying to get free of it? Trying to fight it? Trying to win a battle against it? Are you looking back? Because if you look back, it'll be by faith. You're saved by faith. You have a changed life by faith. You're a new creature by faith. The old man passes away by faith. Are you trying to work hard? I'm asking you tonight, before God, are you trying to work hard to deal with making the old life pass away? Or are you looking back to the cross and do you believe the word of God? Do you know this as an experience? Have you experienced it? Are you enjoying it tonight? It says in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man, not talking about your daddy, okay? It's talking about you, your old nature, your old life, your old man is crucified with him. Christ not only bore your sin on the cross, he bore your old man on the cross. He not only took all your sin, all your wickedness, all your disobedience, and died in your place, he actually took your old man, your old life, the old person you used to be, how you used to talk, how you used to think, all your own decisions. He took that entire life and he took it to the cross, and it says, we are crucified with Christ. Saints, you need to look back to the cross. This is the power of getting victory over the old life. It's not try harder. It's not look forward. It's not mature into this. It's actually look back to the cross. You need to know this. You've got to believe it. You've got to understand this. That our old man is right now, not will be. It was already done, it's already. You can't make it more done. It's not your work, it's God's work. You need to believe it and go, I do know it's true. Saints, if you realize this, it'll set you free in your Christian walk. Our old man is crucified with him. He not only died for your sin, you were crucified with him. Your old nature, he took your old man and he nailed him to the cross. It's the work of God. He took your old life, your own old desires, your old ambitions, and hammered it to the cross. This is the work of God in your life. You can have freedom from the old life. And it says that the body of sin, that's the old man, the body of sin might be destroyed. That word destroyed means rendered entirely useless. It means to do away with it. It means to bring it to nothing. It means to make it inoperative. Or this is the word I like. It means to make it unemployed. Do you know at the cross, your old man was given the sack. He was fired. You're finished. You're out of this job. You're not in control anymore. I'm issuing you, because of the cross, you're unemployed. Oh, but I want to keep my job. No. But I want to stay here. No. He'll come knocking on your door and say, I want to live in your home. No. I want to live in your marriage. No. I want to live in your family. No, you're unemployed. You don't belong to this family anymore. You're not in my relationship anymore. You're not in my life anymore. You're fired. Do you know most bosses who fire someone, they don't have much mercy, do they? They sack 500 people or go, you're fired. Do you know who really get fired without sympathy? Bad workers. People who cause problems, who don't turn up in time, who do it all wrong, who don't bother working, who could care less, they come late, they leave early, they do a bad job, they make a mess, they tell lies. Since your old man is a bad worker, he messed you up badly. He's not your friend. He actually tripped you up. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's ignorant. He's arrogant. He's proud. He's a deceiver. He trips you up. He fights you. He nips you in the middle of the night. He does all of those things. He fights you. He punches you in the face. He knocks your teeth out. That's your old man. He's unemployed. You've got to say, you're fired. He's not only unemployed. He's actually got a death sentence. Do you know he's on death row? Amen. You know, in America, we don't have it anymore. Man, I'd put murders on death row. I'd have the death sentence in this land again. You guys, you wouldn't elect me as a judge or a politician or as a lawmaker in this land. You would have hated my guts. But you know what I said? Man, I'm not here to make you happy. I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to bring the law. And you know what? If a man takes a man's life, he ought to die. He forfeits his life. Or he ought to be in death row. I believe that with all my heart. The Bible teaches it. If you take a man's life, you forfeit your life. And God has given to governments the power of the sword. Can I tell you something? That old man, there's nothing nice about him. And the Bible actually says he's crucified. He's under a death sentence. He is actually nailed to the cross. The body of sin is nailed to the cross with Christ that he might be destroyed. And this is the reason that henceforth we should not serve sin. This is the key to not serving sin. Are you struggling with sin tonight? Are you failing with sin? Is there some issue that keeps coming up and keeps coming up and keeps coming up and you have sinned against God and you go, maybe there's no hope for me. Maybe I'm not a new creature. Saints, can I tell you tonight, the secret is this old life being crucified with Christ. Not trying harder. Sure, you're exhausted. Sure, you've given up. Sure, you said, I can't do it. It is actually looking back to the cross that you should no longer serve sin. What's the key? Sacking your old man. Get out of here. Amen. You're fired. You don't have a job. You're not in this life anymore. You've got no right to be here. He turns up again and says, here I am. Get out. You're fired. Your place is on the cross. 2,000 years ago, Jesus nailed you to the cross. I'm not fighting with you. I'm not wrestling with you. I believe the word of God. I reject your rights in my life. I refuse to allow you to live your life in me. Get back to the cross. You see, saints, the Bible says this in Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's, or belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh. Do you know what that means? Impale on the cross. We play games with the flesh. We entertain the flesh. We make provision for the flesh. We give space to the flesh. You know what the Bible says? Crucify the flesh. Nail it to the cross. Be violent with it. Don't show it love. Amen. Don't show it mercy. Aren't you beautiful? Don't spray perfume over it and invite it into your house and go, isn't he beautiful? No, he's not. He's a rogue. He's a rogue. He's messed up your entire life. He messed up every relationship, every attitude of your heart. He's an absolute rogue. Crucify the flesh. Do not have mercy on the flesh. Don't give it room. Or you're going to find that you're going to have problems. You will serve sin. When you begin to serve sin, you know you've lost sight of Calvary. But saints, by faith, look back again and say, I do believe it. I will believe it. Jesus was crucified for me. My old man was nailed to the cross. I will put faith. I'm going to believe this. Or you'll get very tired. Thirdly, a new life. Not only the old life passing away, but a new life. When you become a new creature, they're all things. It says here in this verse, all things are become new. All things, talking about the new creature, this new spiritual man, all things are become new. It's a new creature, a new life, a new desire, a new thought. Don't tell me that nothing has changed on you if you're born again. You need to go back and repent. You need to go back to faith. You need to go back to the blood again. If there's no power in your Christian life, if there's no victory, if there's no holiness, if there's no power over sin, you don't try to work your way through to being better. You need to go back again to the cross. That's where the exchange took place. He took your old life. But saints, he done that so you could have a new life. He takes your old life. He nails your old life to the cross. He crucifies your previous life. What you were when you got born again, he nailed to the cross. There was an exchange. But what does he give you? He gives you all things new. He gives you a new creature, a new life, a new start, a new walk, a new spirit, a new heart, a new mind, a new direction, a new hope. All things have become new. It's a free gift on day one when you're born again. He gives you all of this. There's an exchange. This isn't just theology. Not just something written in the Bible. It is an experience. On the Bible, there was a divine exchange that when you believe, he says, I, by my power, through the cross, make all things new. It says in Romans 6 and 4, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. A new life, a new walk, a new way of acting, a new way of speaking. When a man or woman's born again, they don't realize what's happened. They get saved. They get forgiven. They say, I believe in Jesus. I had no hope. I was hopeless outside of him. They don't understand the theology. They don't understand Romans 6. They don't understand Galatians or Corinthians. They've never read the Bible. But when they believe, a miracle takes place. The old life passes away and a new life comes in. Immediately there's a change. They stop fornicating, or at least they're deeply convicted. They stop drinking. They stop cursing. But if you're not careful, those things can come knocking on your door again. And you go, man, sure nothing happened. Sure it's all coming back. Maybe nothing happened. If you're not careful to stand by faith, then you are going to see this again. But not only a new life, a new responsibility. If you're a new creature, you do have a responsibility. You're not dead. You're not bound. You're not a prisoner. You're not a slave. You're not a servant of hell and of sin. You're not a servant of the devil anymore. You actually are a new creature, and there is power, there is faith, there is life, there is a whole new creation. And listen to me, that new creature, all things are made new. You've got a new responsibility. You've got a power you didn't have before. It says in Ephesians 4:22, and this is your responsibility, that you put off. It's a responsibility as a new creature. He doesn't say that to the sinner. He says to sinners, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be born again. You'll be saved. You'll be forgiven. But to the Christian, listen to what he says. Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. The old man's way of speaking and acting and living and thinking and desiring. Can it come into a Christian life? Yes. Can it come back again when you're a year into your Christian walk, or 5 years into your Christian walk, or 30 years? Yes. The old man can actually come back. He's sacked, he's fired, he's crucified. But oh, he comes back with the power. He says, here I am. Hey, I'm back again. That's what the old man says. And yet the Bible says in Ephesians 4, put off the old man. He comes knocking on the door. You open the door, you look out the curtain, go, oh no, not him again. Do not open the door. Slam the door in his face if you've opened it. If you've let him into the house, kick him out again. Don't show love to the old nature. What you have to do is put him off. Put off the old life. Put off the old way. Do you know how you used to think and come back again? But it's in a person. It's in a body. It's in a life. It's the old life. You've got to put the old life out. It doesn't say the old sins. It says the old life. If you put that old man out, he stops operating. Do you know why? Because it's in him that he thinks a certain way. He's proud. He's religious. He's unforgiving. He's jealous. He's vengeful. You've got to go, I'm putting you off. You're getting back to the cross. You're crucified. You're crucified. It says, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness. What's that old man? It's corrupt. Corrupt. And listen, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm talking about a new life. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How does this happen that you enjoy the new life? How do you enjoy the new creation? How do you enjoy all things being new in your life? By having your mind renewed. The warfare's in your mind. If you begin to think, I can't do this, you've been defeated in your mind. If a stronghold forms in your mind and says, I can't get victory over sin, you've been defeated. You don't believe the word. You're no longer looking back to the cross. You're actually now saying, the old man is alive. I'm two people. There's no power. I can never change. I'll never be free. You do not believe the Bible. You're living in unbelief now. You're living in defeat. You're not living in victory. But be renewed, be renovated in your mind. Allow the word of God to change your mind. You must know that you're crucified with Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. There's power in the new man. There's a victory to live right again. And listen, that you put on the new man. I thought you're a Christian. I am. But the Bible says I'm not only to put off the old man as a Christian. Do you realize it's not a once for all act? As you walk in your Christian life, you have to go, I'm putting off the old and I'm putting on the new. This new man, I thought you're born again. I thought you're a new creature. I am. But I still by faith have to go, I'm putting on the new man. I'm putting it on what I know to be true. I'm putting it on. I'm believing. Putting on the new man. Listen to this. Which after God is created, not work harder. Not strive harder, not labor harder. What do? You put on a new creature. Something that was created by God in righteousness and true holiness. There's no demons in it, no curse in it, no generational curses. It was created perfect. This new man, this new life. That's why it says in 1 John, the new man cannot sin. It cannot sin. It does not sin. This new creature. That's why the Bible says put it on. When you put it on, look back to the cross and go, he took my old man. My old man was in exchange. My old man was crucified. But now I put on the new man. And this new man has new desires. This new man desires God. Have you lost sight of it tonight? Have you been wrestling with the old man? Have you forgotten that it's an act of faith where you say, the new man is perfect, the new man desires to do God, the new man is made in righteousness, day one. And you get that when you're born again at the beginning. But you know what? All along the way, you've got to come back to this and say, I'm putting on the new man. He is created perfect. He's always been perfect. He is sinless. He cannot sin. He doesn't desire to sin. But when you sin, you're in the old man. You've allowed him to live. And if you allow that man to dictate your life, he'll destroy you and take you to hell. But this new man, when I, by faith, put him on, it actually also says just after this about putting off the old man. It speaks about put off lying. What's the old man? Put off lying. Could a Christian lie? Of course they could. And it says put off lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Or it says be ye angry and sin not. There's a sort of anger that's sin. Put it off. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Are you angry? Are you shaken with anger? Don't go to bed tonight with it. Don't go to bed. You can be angry and not sin, but godly anger comes slowly and goes quickly. That's how you know it's right. When it's sin, it comes and it stays and it burns and it drives you, and you'll go to bed with it tonight. It also says, neither give place to the devil. When you put the new man on and put the new man off, what are you doing? I'm not giving any place to the devil in my life. If I allow the old man to operate and don't put on the new man, the devil can operate. He finds a place in my life. It also says, let him that stole steal no more. And let him who once spoke corrupt communication out of your mouth no more do that. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Or in Colossians, listen to what it says. It says, put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. I'm talking about the new life. Put them off. Saints, don't wrestle with them. You say, you're crucified. You stand and you go, there's a divine exchange with the cross. God done this. Christ done it. It's not for me to do. Do you know what? I don't have power over the new life or the old life. I don't have power to crucify the old life. I don't have power to create a new life. I actually stand and go at the cross. He gave me a new life and I put my old life in him. And I've got to believe this and walk in it. It says put off wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. And lie not one to another. Then it says in Colossians, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. See, put off the old man, his deeds go. Do you see the key here? The key is not dealing with lying, or trying to deal with lust, or trying to deal with anger, or trying to deal with unforgiveness. Don't do that. Put off the old man. Go to the cross. Believe again. Reckon it to be true. And as you see him crucified afresh, you're free and you walk in truth. That's how you actually experience real faith and real liberty. And it says, having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Saints, listen to me. Reckon. Believe it to be true. Consider it to be true. Legally calculate it. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It's not just me trying to kill the flesh. It happened on the cross. It was with Christ. I am my old life. Flesh. The old nature. The power of it. I am crucified. That's a statement of experience and faith. I believe this. I'm holding to it. I'm trusting to it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Look at Paul. He says, I am crucified. Me, Paul, I am crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not me. It's not the old life. But it's Christ living in me. How do you alive? What is this new life? It is Christ living his life in you. When you live the new life according to the new creature, when you put on the new life, it is Christ living his life in you. It's not your life. It's not your power. It's not your ability. It's not your will. It is Christ living his life in you. This is the new creature. This is the new life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in the body, listen to this very carefully, by the faith of the Son of God. How do you do this? Work hard? No. By faith. By faith that old life's crucified. By faith the old nature, the body of sin, with all of its sins and all of its desires and all of the things that bother me, it's crucified with Christ. How? By faith. You do it by faith. You're saved by faith. You're forgiven by faith. You're made righteous by faith. You're made holy by faith. You start again by faith. You're changed by faith. You're crucified by faith. You live a new life by faith. Christ lives in you. How? By faith. Let him live his life in you. I can't live the life. I'm failing. It's impossible. I know. Don't you know every Christian who's ever lived has found that the Christian life's impossible? Brother Clendenin, I loved the day I heard him. He said, the Christian life isn't hard. I went, uh-oh. What'd you say? The Christian life isn't hard. I went, man, he's a man of God. I can't live like that. He says, it's not hard. I thought, man, I find it hard. It's not hard. It's impossible. No one can live this life. You can't. I can't. Brother Clendenin can't. The Apostle Paul can't. Peter can't. Mary can't. Mary Magdalene can't. None of them can. Do you know what it is? It is by faith. Are you living by faith? Are you actually enjoying this exchange life of your old life being crucified with Christ and putting on the new life, and it's perfect. It desires right. It does righteous. It's humble. It's pure. It's holy. It's good. It's filled with good works. It wants to pray. It wants to read the Word of God. Not me trying to. I've got to read the Bible. You get worn out. Man, I ought to pray. You get worn out. Put on the new man. Let Christ live his life within you. How? By faith. Let Christ do it. The power is his. Let him live this life in you. Let me finish. An exchange life. An exchange life. A change life. An old life. A new life. But an exchange life. As we close. It says in Isaiah 40:29. He giveth power. This is God. Power. Power. Isn't that what you need in your Christian life? Isn't it power? Do you think it comes from you? Do you think you work it up? Do you think the source is in you? I've got to have the power. Listen. He giveth power to the strong. No. To the faint. He gives power to the faint. Someone who's about to faint, to collapse, to give up. Who can't make it, who can't go further, who can't walk anymore, who can't do this again. He giveth power to the faint. There's a certain time, remember it's an exchange life. There's a certain time he gives power to those, talking about the Christian, those walking with God. He giveth power when you get faint. When you've reached the end. When you can't do this anymore, he actually gives you power. Don't you want that in your Christian life? Don't you want to enjoy this? Don't you want to experience this? That when you go, I can't do this anymore. I'm so tired. Remember I told you 3 weeks ago when I left here for Germany. Remember what I said? I was tired. Took 4 days in Donegal, out in the sun, sitting there, relaxing. Went and walked on the beach. It was, what a wonderful 4 days, stopped doing everything. Didn't even look at my emails or my Facebook or anything else. And just there with Candace, 4 days shut down. And when I come back, I'm more tired, more exhausted, I'm frustrated. And I get on the plane going to Germany going, I am finished. Sure, I've experienced it 10,000 times. I'm frustrated. And I'm tired and go exhausted in my mind. And I get in that Monday morning. I get into the first prayer meeting at School of Christ. And I'm there in the prayer meeting. Man, I'm on fire when I come back. Not because of those things. The first prayer meeting, I'm refreshed in my physical body. I'm refreshed in my mind. I feel like I've been on a month's holiday. But I've only been in an hour's prayer meeting. What happened in that prayer meeting? And you know what? I was preaching 7 times a day. For the next 5 days. And what is it? I'm absolutely fresh as a daisy. I'm waking up as fresh as a daisy. I'm going to bed as fresh as a daisy. I wasn't that a week ago. What happened? I was in a prayer meeting. I didn't take a month's holiday. I was in a prayer meeting. Something happened. Listen to this again. He giveth power to the faint. And to them who have no might, he increases strength. Do you have no might? Then he wants to increase your strength. You have nothing back. There's nothing in you. Since it's not from you, you don't live the Christian life by your own power. Something happens when you're tired, you're weak, you're frail. You're at the end of yourself. You have no more power. You have no more victory over sin. He gives power and he increases your strength. Listen, even the youths shall faint. Young guys, young boys shall faint. It's not about physical strength. And be weary. And the young men with their muscles and their stamina in their 20s, those young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The secret isn't in being young or in your 20s. It's not in doing weights, or running, or getting fit and healthy, or eating right. All those things can help, mind you. All those things are good. But he says it's not that. This is the key. Since this is what happened to me just 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. But they that wait upon the Lord. That word wait means to bind together by twisting together. It means to patiently wait, to look to the Lord with great expectation. It means to look to the Lord eagerly saying, okay, Lord, I cannot do. I look to you. I get my strength from you. I get my power. I get my holiness from you. It's not do harder. It's not work harder. It's actually to wait upon the Lord. What happens to those who wait upon the Lord? What happens to those who stop and go, I'm tired. Lord, I think I'm about to faint. Lord, I can't go any further. Lord, I think I'm at the end of myself. I've got nothing more to give. What are you going to do? You're going to wait upon the Lord. Why not stop and look to him with real expectation? Listen to what happens. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you know that word renew means exchange their strength? Their strength passes away and a new strength comes. The word renew means strength. Do you know an eagle? You study eagles, this is what happens. They get to a certain age. Middle life crisis. And their beaks become encrusted and their claws and their feathers. And a depression settles on them. And they go down into the wilderness. And all of this, they become so old. They're not old, but yet they become old. And their feathers aren't like they used to be. And their claws aren't. And their eyes aren't. And their life isn't. And they go, I don't have the strength I used to. And I don't have the power. And I don't have the desire. Ever lose the desire to live the Christian life? Ever lose the will to live holy in Christ? And it says that eagle, when it gets to that place, you know what it does? It goes back to the rock where it was born. And it goes back in the rock. And this happens in nature. The eagle renews its strength. It literally renews it. It exchanges its strength. It becomes young again. And you know, its beak and its claws and its feathers, and it goes right back to its youthfulness again. That's what the Bible's saying. Just like the eagle exchanges its strength, so you can as a Christian. Do you know this can happen? It doesn't matter if you're 70 years old or 80 years old. It wouldn't matter if you're 90. Spiritually, you can be as fresh as a daisy. The power of God can come. The quickening of God. This exchange at the cross. This isn't only for sinners. This is for the Christian who goes, I'm tired. And they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Do you know an eagle's the only bird to mount up? Have any of you seen the Harrier jet they used to have in England? It was so unique. It didn't take off like this. They took off like this. You know what's unique about a Harrier jet? It lifts up. It doesn't take off like a normal airplane. The Harrier jet used to hover. If it was in a tight area, it lifted off the ground into the air. Then it took off. Do you know what that means? The eagle. It doesn't matter if it's confined in, surrounded by enemies. It's in a tight situation, saying, I cannot take off. You don't need to take off. You mount up with wings of an eagle. You go, you lift up, you get lifted straight up out of your situation. You mount up with wings of an eagle. And listen to this, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Saints, there is a Christian life, an exchange life. You were changed day one. You were born again, made a new creature. The old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's an exchange life. You are a new man in Christ Jesus. And I promise you, you can have a fresh experience with God right now in this room. Saints, like 2 weeks ago, I got back in that prayer meeting and went, oh God, I need to pray through and touch you. And he touched me again. And the power of God came again. And the life came again. And the joy comes again. And I go, I think I'll run for another 1,000 miles. Man, I feel like I could pull up my trousers, pull up my skirt, and I'm going to run with the energy of God's saints. This is the Christian life. You can be refreshed and renewed. It's a divine exchange at the cross. Not only your sin for his righteousness, but his life for your life. And it is power. It is a refreshing. It is new strength so you can live this Christian life without getting weary or tired or worn up, out or given up or thrown in the towel or saying, I can't make it. Sure, none of us can make it. None of us can live this life. None of us are holy or righteous by our own efforts. Don't think you're saved by faith and then you've got to live your Christian life by hard works. It's always by faith. Let's stand here tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you. Let's give him thanks tonight. Let's give him glory. Look to him in faith. Have faith tonight. Just put your faith in the Lord tonight. Lord Jesus, we bless you. We praise you. My God, you're our power. You're our strength. My God, open our eyes in this room tonight. Open our eyes, O God, freshen us, refresh our walk with you. My God, take us back to the cross, to this divine exchange, this changed life. My God, our strength for your strength. My God, we cannot, but you're able. My God, stir faith in every heart tonight. My God, that we might take our eyes off ourselves, that we might place our eyes on Jesus, our faith on him. Nor, God, that we had cast off the old man and put on the new man in this room tonight. My God, with all of his life, with all of his power, with all of his energy, with all of his strength, with all of the desire of the Christ life, my God, renew us in this room. Oh, bless us in the name of Jesus. Renew us, strengthen us, O God. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things have passed away. I've been born again, born again. A conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.